Iowa is facing a shortage of middle-skill workers. These are people for jobs that require more than a high school diploma, but less than a college degree. River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Looking for a new career? Looking for a first career? What about someone in your family? Today we talk about Iowa workforce development efforts to fill the need for middle skill workers, people for jobs that require more than a high school diploma but less than a college degree. And we'll find out what these jobs are and hear from employers and educators about their needs. Join our discussion after this news. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Iowa is facing a shortage of middle-skill workers. These are people for jobs that require more than a high school diploma, but less than a four-year college degree. And how do we know this? Well, one of the ways is that earlier this year, Iowa Workforce Development released the Middle-Skill Jobs in Iowa report, and it detailed this mismatch of job opportunities. We have job opportunities and a worker skill set in Iowa, and they don't completely match. So that's what we want to focus on this hour, learning about what and where this middle work is in demand. So perhaps it's a chance for you or someone you know, someone in your family, an acquaintance, to take advantage of this mismatch. Perhaps you're looking for a new career or for your first career, or someone in your family is in that position. We're going to find out about that this hour, explore it. Let's start with Mark Hannawalt. He is president of United Equipment Accessories in Waverly. And welcome to our program, Mark.
Thank you very much.
Been reading a little bit about your company, United Equipment Accessories in Waverly. You're celebrating 60 years. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a fun run.
Uh-huh. Now tell us a little bit about what United Equipment Accessories does.
Well, we are a what would be classified as a small manufacturer. We are privately held. We are actually in involvement of a third generation of ownership in our family,
mm-hmm.
but yet we have non-family stockholders. And the components that we manufacture are what would be generally classified as electromechanical, and specifically, we get involved with rotary motion. So maybe the best example for the state of Iowa is when you see a wind turbine in a farm field as you travel across the state, you might look up and say, there's a slip ring in that which allows the blades to pitch in and out of the wind, and that's what a slip ring does, and we are internationally known for our slip ring products.
Mm, interesting. And you have seen dramatic growth this year. How much growth?
We're actually up over 50% this year. It's been a culmination of a number of our markets just...
That's sales, 50% in sales up.
Right, right. In that most of our core customers, which can, we started out in construction, forestry, and utility equipment, and have gone more into the higher tech fields from intelligent machinery to now the wind market. And it just seems like all of those are really doing pretty well right now. Contrary to what you sometimes hear, the wind market is somewhat challenged with production tax credit uncertainty. But
right.
We think the future is still bright.
Very good. You have, with this dramatic growth in sales, added employees. How many? Where did you start and where did you grow to from last year to this?
Well, we were in the range of about 82 to 85 employees probably at the start of this year. And we have subsequently grown as the year has gone on to about 115.
Mm. Where is your greatest demand for workers coming on board?
Well, a lot of the jobs that we have are something that we simply train to, so that if you have a good basic high school education, it's something that we can train you to do the types of things that we need. Where specifically meets the parameters of your show today, the mid-skill level, is a challenge for us. And it's primarily a challenge because our community colleges, which are one of Iowa's best assets on the scope of educational process, they can only produce so many people in these various areas. And other manufacturers besides United Equipment have the same kinds of needs, whether it be in CNC machinists, CNC programmers, it could be welders, it could be people who are quality technicians. And these are all, you know, well-paying jobs that are above the high school level, certainly.
Well, what do you mean by well-paying? What's a range you can give me?
I would say most of those jobs are going to start well above 15 and go up to, you know, $25 an hour, something in that range.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So why do you think it's difficult? Why are you seeing this lack of workers, this mismatch in your particular area?
Well, I think, you know, I've alluded to that all of the manufacturers are buying against each other to attract these people. But I think the systemic problem is that the current perception in coming through high school is that everyone needs a four-year college education, which is great if that's what you want to do. But there are a lot of opportunities in what I call the trade school, technical school level that are very rewarding jobs. And the view of I think a lot of people is that the workplace in manufacturing is not an attractive place to work. And so I think it behooves us to do a better job of educating high school level people, from, you know, the educators themselves to the students to counseling people, that, you know, come take a look at our factories and see mm-hmm. how clean they are, how safe that they are, and that there are people doing a very good job at what they're doing and enjoying it.
Uh-huh. And you are actually doing this in Waverly at the United Equipment Accessories. People can come and see what it would be like to work there, I understand.
Right. I mean, we're, as I tell people, we have nothing to hide. So,
okay.
We just think that that's the right thing to do, whether it's a grade school level class that wants to see, or if it's somebody in a high school or somebody beyond that. It gives us the opportunity to show that this is an attractive place to work. So from our recruiting standpoint here in this area, that's one opportunity, but also just educating people about the possibilities for the career in the future.
Okay, hang on there. In Waverly, Mark Hannawalt, president of United Equipment Accessories in Waverly. Let's add to our conversation, Teresa Wehlert is the Iowa Workforce Development Director. Hi, Teresa.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. We just slipped into the afternoon.
Good
here.
Afternoon.
Very good. My first half of the day went very quickly as well. So you heard Mark's story there, situations like this, I'm sure, all over Iowa. Is it unusual? How unusual?
I think it's a very commonplace story, not only in the advanced manufacturing industry, but in other industries as well. Healthcare, Mark mentioned, energy, finance and insurance, just across all of our middle skill sectors of the economy we're trying to get to grow. I think Mark had a couple of great examples for us to focus on and really help to understand why it is that our agency is now trying to partner even with high schools and get information, access to job opportunities, the kinds of skill sets that businesses need, the kinds of a curriculum that needs to be offered to kids at a much younger age so that they can actually experience what the real world requirements are in business, not be ashamed of them, but actually pursue them as a great alternative, actually be able to put on their resume certifications that perhaps will lead to the opportunity for them to be employees of companies like Mark. So this year, along with our Skilled Iowa initiative addressing this middle skills gap, we are moving all of our virtual technology and information services into all of the 351 high schools in the state of Iowa. So far, we've been at this now a couple of months, and we're in over 150 of those high schools.
In what way are you in the high schools? What do people see or experience, students?
Well, it's different in each high school, depending on what the strategy of the high school is. Certainly, the technology and the information usually is contained in the counselor's office or in the job search, career search offices of high schools. But also in some high schools, teachers have access, as students do, to all of the information on jobs and skills and where the jobs are and what my career might look like in that kind of a job. They now have access to all that public information as well in a form and a fashion that they can use. So we're actually seeing teachers changing their curriculum so that they can utilize the information about workforce, about certifications, about the opportunities that Mark talked about. Some high schools, the other extreme, are actually putting this information and our virtual technology on every iPad that a student is issued. Many of our high schools have a one-to-one technology strategy where when you go there as a student, the school itself issues you a computer device, an iPad, or whatever they have selected. And so the student then on the student's time can take whatever the assignments and the projects and so on are all done a lot through this technology. So the opportunity there is not only then for students, but also for parents, as well as counselors, and as well as teachers learning to teach towards the kinds of proficiencies that Mark needs and quite a few other businesses throughout the state of Iowa needs in order to grow to meet their demand needs of their sales.
Okay. If you just joined us, we're talking about the shortage in Iowa of middle-skill workers. These are people for jobs that require more than a high school diploma, but less than a four-year college degree, perhaps a technical degree, or perhaps on the job training. And perhaps this is something that you might think of for your son or daughter, your grandchildren, to pursue these opportunities, to forego college in favor of one of these good-paying jobs. Would you do that as a parent, as a grandparent? Why? Why not? Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Or you can write us an email, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org, or give us a tweet at IPR Talk. Teresa Wehlert with us of the Iowa. She is Iowa Workforce Development Director. Mark Hanawalt, President of the United Equipment Accessories in Waverly, which has been trying to find these people and has good-paying jobs, has increased employment from 85 to around 115 because of the booming business in electromechanical equipment. Joining us now also, Steve Warnstadt. Is it Warnhart?
Warnstadt.
Warnstadt, I'm sorry.
It's been much worse, so.
Coordinator of Business Training and Non-Credit Hours at Western Iowa Tech Community College. That in Sioux City. So where do community colleges fit into this? You've been listening to the conversation, to this picture, as far as bridging that skill gap, getting that mismatch to be less.
Well, exactly. I mean, we work assiduously, and I think every community college in the state works very hard to do outreach to businesses just like Mark's. Sometimes it's very difficult to find. Sometimes some of those businesses are not aware of what the community colleges can do. Sometimes community colleges are not aware of some of the smaller companies that, as you're driving by them, are doing great things, are having a huge presence both within the state and across the country, and in some cases internationally, but not a lot of people know about them. So establishing strong relationships between the community colleges with our workforce development, the private sector, is one of the things that I think every college, community college in the state, works very hard to make sure that we are fully developing the potential of every individual and meeting the needs that every business has, because that's how our communities will grow.
Okay, list on five fingers or more the top professions that you're training for that you see really growing now and into the future.
The beauty of it is it changes on a rapid basis. The business community is a very dynamic environment. And so, just recently, Western Iowa Tech, for example, partnered with Saber Communications, which developed cell phone towers both in the state and across the country. They needed skilled welders that they just were not going to be able to find. It was very difficult to find. So Western Iowa Tech took its existing welding program and tailored it to fit the needs of Saber Communication, and we'll be producing training approximately 200 people over the course of the next 12 to 18 months to make sure that Saber Communications is able to establish their business in Sioux City with a trained workforce, that we are able to develop a tailored product to help meet their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Same is true in terms of telecommunication. Healthcare, obviously, is a growing field. Newer niches such as boilers, we're seeing an increase in that, as well as the whole renewable fuels, whether it's wind or biodiesel or anything along the ethanol. So we're seeing a lot of growth in a lot of different areas, and I think each region of the state has a particular niche that probably waxes and wanes at different times.
Are you able to meet demand with the resources that you have, or do you wish you could meet more demand?
Well, it gets to be very difficult when you have the variety of demands. So far, we've been able to keep up with it, but it does strain the capability to deliver the resources, in part because each company has a unique need in many ways. Colleges may or may not have all of the capital tools on which to train the individuals, so that takes a strong relationship with the businesses with which we're partnering.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure we have the right tools upon which to train the people that they're looking for in their workforce, and to make sure that we have qualified individuals to meet the needs that the businesses are going to demand. So it's not a static thing. 20 or 30,
right,
maybe 40 years ago, these industries did not change much. You're seeing changes within welding, for example, that you would not have seen 10 years ago.
Okay. Steve Warnstadt, a coordinator of business training and non-credit hours at Western Iowa Tech Community College in Sioux City. We're going to ask one of our listeners to join us. Eric is joining us from Fort Dodge. Hi, Eric. What comes to mind when you're listening to this conversation?
Hi.
About middle-skill workers and the shortage we have in Iowa?
Well, I was just wondering why we don't graduate high school with more of these skill sets that maybe they were then able to train on the job easier for the advancements we have made, instead of having to pay to go to 1 or 2 years of college that some people might not want to do, or that might be an extra stress for some people.
Good question, Eric. I want to hand that off to Mark Hannawald if he's still with us, because I think, Mark, you mentioned that you train people right out of high school in some cases on the job, don't you?
Correct. And, I would say in answer to that question that the student just really needs to be cognizant of what courses in high school are going to give them the best advantage coming out. And that really tends to be the sciences, mathematics, and those types of reading comprehension, oral communication skills that are just intrinsic to almost every job in some way. To not come out with those skills you're putting yourself at a deficit.
Mark, do you actually recruit or reach into work with high schools in the Waverly area?
Not necessarily, other than just knowing and letting people know who we are. We try to recruit at primarily at the college level, but we certainly want to give high school students the opportunity if they're qualified for the job skill.
Okay, Eric, thank you for that question. Did you want to jump in there, Teresa?
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
I do. I think Eric has a great question, and one that we are all talking about throughout the state of Iowa. We have a lot of things, obviously, that we need to do to upgrade our education system. But my dialogue with the high schools is that they've really not had a clear kind of certification or testing environment or even learning environment on these basic fundamental areas that are required in all of these middle skill jobs. And those three areas are applied mathematics, reading for content, and the ability to search for information. The kind of applications that we are deploying into high schools can actually demonstrate how proficient students are in these basic proficiency areas, so that if they need a little remediation help, maybe in geometry, or if they're interested in another field that requires them to look up a lot of information and they're not scoring well on some of these proficiency tests, they have time in their high school process to get help, to get remediation, to get additional classes. So this is a tool that really has not been available to high schools throughout the state of Iowa. I doubt if it's real available throughout any of the states in the high school environment. And that's why we're so excited about our project, where we can actually give additional tools that are voluntary, but have the high schools, their teachers, the students, the parents, have more information about what skill sets do their kids really currently have, how do they compare to what outside business and the outside environment after high school are looking for to be able to train into these middle skill jobs and have great careers in the state of Iowa.
Let's try to squeeze another call in before we have to take a break. Jamie in Iowa City. Hi, Jamie. Please be brief.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I guess what I would ask is, I hear this everywhere, that there are jobs that are going unfilled, and I hear it blamed on public education. I guess I'd like the business owner and the workforce person to both respond to that. Do you think the lack is because our schools are not doing a good job?
Okay, Jamie, great question. Let's go to Mark, and then quickly to Mark, and then Teresa before our break.
Well, I would just say I think it's the focus. I think we have great teachers by and large, and good school systems. I think it's just like Teresa was alluding to. There's an initiative right now in the state in state government through the Branstad administration that is the STEM initiative, and that's science, technology, engineering, and math. And of course, those are higher level skills in some cases, but the lead into those is some pretty basic mid-level things. And so I think that initiative and things like Teresa is doing, which are paralleling and integrating those types of initiatives, will really help focus the high school education to a higher level.
30 seconds for you, Teresa.
What I would say is, I don't know how well we as a state have done connecting high school aged students with business and business opportunities. And so I think that the one thing that we can really add, instead of going through the blaming process, is we can really add an additional connectivity that never existed very much between business and high schoolers as to what to look for and what to plan for.
Teresa Wehlert is going to stay with us, Iowa Workforce Development Director, as is Steve Warnstadt of the Western Iowa Tech Community College in Sioux City. Mark Hannawalt, we're going to say goodbye to you. Thank you for sharing the success of your business and the need for great new workers there in Waverly at United Equipment Accessories. Thanks for telling us about it.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity.
When we come back, we're continuing to discuss the shortage of middle skill workers, people for jobs that require more than a high school diploma, less than a college degree. Join our conversation. And also, when we come back, we'll talk with Angie Krager, employment specialist at Mercy Medical Center in North Iowa, Mason City. Of course, the medical field, one of these areas in great need of that type of labor. When we return, this is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. Great to have you with us on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. And as video game culture continues to grow, several people in Iowa are making efforts to expand the video game industry even further. Monday on this program, we'll talk with a University of Iowa instructor who developed an entire curriculum based on video game journalism. Also talk with a recent Iowa graduate. He'll tell us about becoming an editor at the world-renowned gaming magazine Game Informer, and to check in with the International Video Game Hall of Fame. That's in Ottumwa. Did you know that? And we'll discuss gaming events in that city. That's Monday, all about video gaming and that how that industry continues to expand. Today, also talking about the economy and jobs, we're already struggling in fields such as healthcare, and so Iowa can expect an increasingly difficult time filling jobs in the state as, well, our baby boomers are beginning to retire, and that exodus could leave as many as 200,000 fewer workers over the next 25 years. Specifically, this hour, we're talking about the shortage of middle-skill workers right here, right now. And these are middle-skill work is work for people who need to have more than a high school diploma but less than a college degree. And so this is a good discussion to hear if you perhaps are considering a second career, or perhaps you have someone you know of in your life who is looking for a first career, something to consider. Our guests with us from the first half hour, Teresa Whalert, Iowa Workforce Development Director, and Steve Warnstadt. He is the coordinator of business and business training and non-credit hours at Western Iowa Tech Community College in Sioux City. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. Perhaps you're an employer who has noticed this shortage of middle-skill workers. Tell us your experience, what your need is. 1-866-780-9100, river-to-river at iowapublicradio.org. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk. Also joining us this half hour, Angie Krager, employment specialist at Mercy Medical Center in North... Mercy Medical Center, North Iowa, in Mason City. Angie Krager, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Thank you for joining us. Tell us, we wanted to venture into the medical field. We hadn't addressed that yet this hour. Where are the shortages at your center now?
Well, actually, I was just looking over our recruitment report that we do weekly here. We do have a need for housekeepers, tray line aides in our nutrition services department. So we are definitely looking for the type of worker that you're describing.
Mm-hmm. What about RNs or BSNs?
We are always looking for good nurses to add to our staff. Currently, we don't have a lot of openings right now, which is a good thing for our facility.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've noticed changes in regulations, rewards for having higher educated staff. Definitely in the past few years, we've seen more push toward hiring BSN credentials.
Mm-hmm. Remind us the difference between BSN and RN.
Sure. So an RN, we would hire from an associate of nursing, a community college. Someone could obtain their degree from a community college, and that would be a two-year program. Mm. A Bachelor of Science in Nursing requires 4 years and would be generally thought of as a more rounded education.
What about jobs in the rehabilitation area, physical therapists and so forth? A demand there that's not being met?
Yeah, I would say if you have a son or daughter that is interested in athletics or in becoming a physical therapist, they could certainly work anywhere in the country right now.
Mm-hmm. Big demand there, and that's a nice paying job, isn't it, profession?
It is, yes. Although the investment of time is quite substantial as well. So if you're looking to go to school for a 6 or 8 year program, you know, we would definitely help you. That's one of the things that we've done to try and recruit and make it a little easier to find people with those degrees is we offer educational assistance.
How have your avenues for recruiting changed over the years from what they were maybe a decade or so ago?
Oh gosh. Well, I'm sure everyone on the show today would agree social media has been something we have definitely started to use even in the past couple of years a lot more. I would say even in the past 6 months a lot more.
Which social media specifically?
We use LinkedIn. Of course, Facebook is a new option for people out there. And I say new. It's not new to any of us on the personal side, but with the opening of their recruitment pages and things like that, we've definitely tried to get more in tune to how we can reach out to people that way.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder also, recruitment having changed, does your workforce, the character of your younger workforce, is that different than an older generation of medical personnel?
Yeah, it's been fun, a very quick transition. But when I first started here, we had paper applications. They don't even exist anymore. We don't accept paper applications anymore. We don't even print them. So if you're looking to become an employee of our hospital, we take our applications online. And, you know, certainly we can make appointments and help you do that if you're not as familiar with computers. But that has presented its challenges for those that may not have a computer at home or may not be as familiar with even typing or keyboarding in general.
Mm-hmm. I guess what I wanted to drive at there, too, was do young people in their 20s typically take a job and then stay with it over decades, or do you see a lot of turnover?
Yeah, we have seen a big shift there. You know, we're lucky, our workforce here, we have people that have worked 20, 30, sometimes 40 years. There has been a shift. Our society is more mobile, especially as we hire the younger generation. They may only want to stay in our area for a few years. So we hire people from all over the country, and we do a lot of deals on iPhones and Blackberries. We've had letters of offer come through that way, as well as, you know, sending them electronically. So,
Angie Krager of the Mercy Medical Center, North Iowa in Mason City. Thank you, and please hang on. Let's go to our phones. Ryan is with us from Story County. What's your story, Ryan?
Yeah, this is Ryan.
Yeah, go ahead, Ryan. You're on the air. What do you have to share?
No, I just wanted to provide a little insight about the gap that you were discussing about, the need we have for what you would call industrial or career technical sort of education and those jobs. Speaking from a high school standpoint as a high school teacher, I can share with you that what we've noticed at our high school over the last 6 or 8 years is because of the new rules and new standards that have been implemented in the state of Iowa for what's called 4-3-3, where every kid must take 4 years of English, 3 years of math, and 3 years of science, because those requirements have changed the nature in which kids can selectively choose classes, we've seen a diminishing role of our career and technical education classes because kids no longer can take that CAD class or that drafting class or that business class or whatever it may be because they have three extra requirements that they have to take now instead of those electives.
Ryan, let's get input from Teresa Wehlert of Iowa Workforce, the development director there. So these types of skills, Teresa, according to Ryan, are getting edged out.
I don't think they're getting edged out. I think what Ryan has said is you need some basics, proficiencies developed quite well through high school, which is exactly what Skilled Iowa is based on, and that is proficiency in those kinds of STEM topics, which is what Ryan mentioned, but also people who are in their 40s and 50s who have had an opportunity to look at work from different industries or perhaps are on unemployment. Perhaps people don't have a computer like Angie talked about. We have facilities in over 800 places throughout the state of Iowa where people can go. These are in public places, libraries, courthouses, things like that, as well as on campuses where people can go and use a computer to get the information to tell them where those jobs are. And then to further try to demonstrate their skill set if they work through our certification process. That is a certification that travels with the person. So maybe in 4 years they have to move to Florida for some reason. This certification is just as valuable in Florida as it is in the state of Iowa because it is a national standard. And so we're really offering Iowans the opportunity to upgrade their skill sets as well as be marketable no matter where they live in the United States.
You mentioned Skilled Iowa. People may not be familiar with that term. Perhaps you just described some of it, but what is that?
Skilled Iowa is the governor's initiative. Will take us probably several years to really conquer the best way, but it's also linked in with the STEM initiative. We have a lot of opportunity and information in this certification-based product and process, people can find out more information about Skilled Iowa. We have a website, and that is skilledIowa.org. And this website will take any interested people, students, teachers, people looking for information about jobs, new businesses trying to start up, vets trying to find a job when they get back from helping us across the ponds in all of their duties. All of this kind of information is contained on our facilities, on our virtual technology. And now that we have been able to deploy that throughout the state, we're quite proud of the fact that we have it in over 800 locations. If you want to know if your city or your area has one of these virtual locations, all you have to do is go to our website at Iowa Workforce Development and enter in your zip code as to where you live, and you will be able to find out where those locations in your area are that have our technology and all that information just waiting for you to check on it.
So there's an assessment and then there's a skill building.
There's an assessment, there's a skill building, and then there's an actual proficiency test. So you actually are certified and have a piece of paper like a diploma or like a degree of some sort that verifies nationally that you have achieved these three proficiencies in skills of the applied math, reading, and searching for information at a variety of levels. There's four levels. It's bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. And obviously, the more proficient you are, the higher rating you receive when you go through the testing process.
Angie Krager, listening to that, have you made use of Skilled Iowa? Do you see that entering into your sphere, helping out at Mercy Medical Center, North Iowa, that addition?
We do see it in the future being a valuable tool. We aren't set up quite yet, but we have definitely looked into it and had some initial meetings, so we're looking forward to it.
Steve Warnstadt in Sioux City, reacting still to Ryan's question from Story County, how do community colleges fit in?
Well, one of the things that we do try to work with local school districts as part of our outreach is to identify those programs where some college credit can be transferred by providing some of the programs in the high schools. But he does bring up a point of all of the different requirements that the school districts are trying to reach does put a strain on the availability of time that the high schools are able to provide. But there is a strong interest that we've seen from high schools in our region that want to provide the opportunity and increase the exposure of students to different opportunities that a lot of people aren't necessarily aware of, especially when they end up being fairly high-paying, solid jobs that keep people in the community. So we do partner with local high schools as much as we can and look for as many opportunities to provide those services at the school district whenever we can.
In addition to high school graduates, Steve Warnstadt, how much are you dealing with those later in life searching out perhaps a second career and wanting to retool their skill set?
Yeah, we deal with people from a number of different transitions, might be a second, third, or fourth career change. Yeah, and that's where the role of having a strong community college network with presence not just at main campuses but at satellite campuses across the state, having that one-on-one connection with individuals, because a lot of times people may not be aware of some of the opportunities.
Right. How is that group different than high schools feeding into technical colleges?
I think for a lot of the adults there is that reality of, you know, I really want to be able to just make I want something that's going to be solid. I know that the opportunities are there, that and there's a bit of an immediacy with the older population that may not be there with the high school students.
Down to business. Let's get the skills. Let's get the work.
Yeah, they've got, they have families. They have home bills. They have rents. They have utility bills.
Right.
Car payments to make. And it also allows them to really focus once they get in that, hey, I just need to be able to do this. I see that there's a great opportunity for me if I just stick with this for a few months or, a year or two. Sometimes the high schools, I mean, you know, when you're 16, 17, 18 years old, you're not sure where you want to go.
Right.
And I think with some of the adult population, they tend to be very focused. They've networked. They have friends that are in industries. And they're extremely diligent, and they're more than willing to make whatever accommodations they need to make in order to succeed because they know the risk of failure.
Does that adult population have a higher success rate? It sounds like it might.
You know, generally they do. There's a number of different factors that come into play, but I think generally that is true. They're very focused and tend to be very successful.
Let's try to get another caller on, at least one more before the end of our hour. Mark in Waverly, is that where we're hearing this sound from? Are you there?
Yes, I am, and I just wanted to cite an example of the system working exactly the way it's supposed to. I am a farmer, and I had a student work for me under a high school job co-op program. He worked for me last fall, but after harvest was done, I did not have work for him. So he apprenticed at a local blacksmith up in Plainfield. He had taken welding classes at the Waverly Shaw Rock High School, and he had also done training at a Waverly company called TDS, where they had virtual welding equipment. And he was allowed to practice there. And then last spring, amidst all this other stuff, he entered a welding competition down at Hawkeye Community College. He placed in it, I think, third out of over 30 students from Northeast Iowa. And TDS offered him a summer job, an internship, and to pay for his college at Hawkeye Community College in exchange for him agreeing to work with them for the next 5 years. So I think that's the way the system's supposed to work, and in his case, it did.
That's a nice story to end our program with, Mark. Thank you for sharing that from Waverly.
Thank you.
Let's look at the future. Angie Krager, tell us a little bit about the demand that you're seeing needing to fill in the future.
Well, I think the needs that we will have the most difficulty filling, again, is in the world of rehabilitation, speech pathology, occupational therapy, physical therapy, continues to be a challenge, and it has been for the last couple of years. In addition, you know, we look to our community colleges for their nursing programs, and they're doing a great job. As regulations and funding go with the higher certifications and degrees, we are going to need to look elsewhere. So I think what Steve was implying about having the four-year colleges being able to offer programs at our community college, I think is a very good use of education in Iowa.
Teresa Whalert, we have just a minute or so left here, but I wanted to ask you something that was mentioned in the first part of our discussion, this perception that everyone needs a four-year degree. And I think you used the word ashamed earlier in our program. So what can be done about that perception that someone who may be perfectly happy with a well-paying job still feels pushed towards this four-year degree? Are you doing something about that?
That was one of our motives in taking these kinds of opportunities into high school so we could start shaping kids' thoughts and parents' thoughts about not only about what the capability was for them in the future, but that these are great jobs. I can tell you that in the state of Iowa, as was mentioned earlier, you can get a great job at $70,000, $80,000 a year being a welder, and you're going to have a difficult time finding a job as a liberal arts degreed person from a four-year institution. And that's just because the markets are very specific today, telling those who are in the marketplace for a job what kinds of skills they really like to see and what kinds of proficiencies they need to be able to demonstrate. So I think we're making a giant step towards really talking about all the great vocational opportunities that can lead to more in life. And okay. It's not something that anybody should shy away from because they're great jobs with great pay and a great future right here.
Teresa Whalert, Iowa Workforce Development Director, thank you for joining us this hour. And also thanks to Steve Warnstadt, coordinator of business training and non-credit hours at Western Iowa Tech Community College in Sioux City, and Angie Krager, employment specialist at Mercy Medical Center, North Iowa in Mason City. Thank you all for joining us this hour.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
River to River is produced by Catherine Perkins and Emily Woodbury. Production assistance today from Allison Sullivan in Des Moines. Help from John Pemble. And we say goodbye to our executive producer today of Iowa Public Radio's talk shows, Jeff Schmidt. Catherine Perkins stepping into that role. Jeff, we've always appreciated your strong leadership, cool-headed decision-making. That's why we end with this song by your band, The 100s, a song you co-wrote with your bandmate, Dave Peterson, a song about that specially colored floodlight called Blue Light. Thanks for all the hard work, the great memories. Farewell to you, my friend.
When you woke me up, tell me he was gone. Well, I took your word, but not for long.
River to River is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us and have a great weekend.
And now you're all back there. I'd see you in your car.